Hope you have your Bible. Look with me here tonight for a few minutes. We're going to look in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. I think, Daryl, I think I'm going to use this tonight so I can hold it a little closer because I have a little bit of a voice problem. Matthew chapter 16. And I'll do my best to hold it up here where it will do some good. We're looking in Matthew 16, if you'll turn there with me. And I'm going to read here beginning with verse 13. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. Now, I know these verses are verses that we read fairly often. But I think most of you probably are like me in that you have a real love for the church. A real love for the church. And I don't mean just our church, but you really love the church, both local and everywhere. And it's such an important principle that is laid down here in these verses. And let's look at it here, Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. The church has a lot of wonderful qualities. But one of the blessed qualities of the church is that we accomplish so much more in our collective efforts. Someone had sent me a little YouTube video. You know, they have these little clips that they can email them to you or post them or whatever. And this was a video, some of you may have seen it, a video that was shot in one of the African countries. And they're filming a herd of, I think it's like Brahma-type cattle, the kind that has the big horns. They look like Texas longhorns. But a whole herd of them. They're moving along a stream or a river. And then someone says, "Oh, look over there." And they move the camera way to the right. And in the grass, there are about four or five lions. And they are crouched down, ready to attack. And those cattle are moving right in their direction. And the cameraman is moving back and forth to show how close, and you can see the lions. I mean, their muscles are getting tense, and they're ready to pounce on these animals. And so they get closer and closer, and suddenly these lions just jump and run at them. When they do, the whole herd is all, you know, I don't know how to say it, except they got tore up. And they turned, and they're trying to get away. And these lions are running at them. And I noticed that all these big animals, these big cattle are, you know, they're just all moving away together. But the lions, they focused in on one of the little baby calves and got a hold of that baby calf and got it down in the water. And not only was that pretty upsetting, and I'm not that big of an animal person, but it was pretty upsetting to see that they got this little baby calf down in the water. But then to top it off, one of the guys says, "Look there, two huge crocodiles came up." And the lions and the crocodiles were fighting over that baby calf. And going back and forth, and finally, the lions pull that baby calf out of the river and pull it up on the bank. But about that time, something really amazing happens. All this herd of cattle with their big longhorns, they come in together and they circle around those lions. And one of the bigger ones comes in and with his horns, or whatever you call it, he goes in for one of those lions and he actually picks the lion up and throws it. And I just wanted to say, praise God. It was just, and this was all reality that was taking place. But long story short, that little calf got up and they saved it from those lions and from the crocodiles. They did it collectively, all got together, and they put those lions on the run. Praise God. Amen. Now, there certainly is a great spiritual application to that scene, and I don't know where to tell you. Just go on YouTube and search for it. But it's on there. It's such an interesting thing. But we know that that's exactly the way that the enemy works against the people of God. That's how he attacks. He waits, he attacks, and then he looks for the weak, the young, the vulnerable, the sick, and then he goes after them. So really, the first roar and the running and the pouncing of those lions was intended to scare off the rest of the herd so they'd get that one little weak baby calf. And I have witnessed that in the church many, many times. A new convert, a new Christian, or someone that's going through a real trying time, physically sick, or maybe just going through a spiritual struggle in their life, and the enemy is focused in upon destroying. Of course, he'll destroy whoever that he can. But if you allow yourself to become weak and vulnerable, and to lose faith and confidence, you're going to be under attack. Amen. Now, when Jesus said, "I will build my church," that was not Jesus saying the gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail against it. The terminology is not that we need to build a fort and protect ourselves. That's not the terminology at all. It's not talking about building a fort or circling the wagons to try to protect yourself. Jesus was saying, I'm going to build my church, and it's going to be a part of an advancing into the enemy's territory. I was reading a little bit about lions. Lions don't pursue after herds like that. They're very territorial. And if some comes into their territory, that's when they attack. And you can be sure that that's what happens whenever the church begins to pray and they begin to reach out to some unsaved. And, every time, as I mentioned, every time that you break into a new family, you have an opportunity to reach out into a new family. You're moving into Satan's territory. He hates that. He hates that. He loves it when the church is just kind of, going along, barely surviving, but whenever the church begins to call on the Lord and seek the Lord and press the Lord, for signs and wonders and miracles, asking the Lord to do some mighty wonderful things, you can be sure that the enemy is going to do all that he can to hinder that. Amen. When he said, "I'll build my church," he was saying, I am the responsible one. I'm the one. I'm the responsible one. I'm the force. I'm the power behind the expansion of the church. It is not dependent upon you and me. It is dependent upon Him. And we put our trust in Him. And we yield ourselves to what He's wanting to do. And He's the one that causes the church to advance. Glory to God. Right into the enemy's territory. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight that, you may be feeling a little bit weary with well-doing. You're staying at it. You're continuing your prayer. Some of you have been fasting and praying, and you're you know, you've been at it for quite a while, just calling upon the Lord and believing God to do some wonderful, mighty things. And well, God's at work. He's the one that's going to build His church. He's the one that's going to change the circumstance, and we need to put our confidence in what He has said He would do. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail or stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen. In these last days. Praise the Lord. Now, it includes a lot of different things. A lot of people love to say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how many people that we have, but you cannot read the book of Acts without seeing that there's great emphasis put upon the Lord added to the church and even numbers. You can't read the book of Acts and not take notice of the fact that every number was a person. Every number was a soul. An individual that needed the Lord. And so when the Lord added to the church such as would be saved, the hundreds came, the thousands came and were brought in to the kingdom of God. And so let's not shy away from the fact that whenever Christ builds His church, it's going to include more people. Amen. Amen. When He builds His church, it is going to be more people. There are going to be more souls. Many others are going to be affected by the gospel and the advancement of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all throughout the book of Acts. That was the record. The growth was in many different aspects, but it was certainly also numerical growth. Amen. There's nothing wrong at all with us. A lot of times people shy away from this. Nothing wrong with asking the Lord, Lord, bring them in. Bring them in and help me to be used of You, Lord, to witness and to reach out to bring those into the house of the Lord. The numbers of people. So the growth, it related to people. It related to souls. That was true in Jerusalem and Palestine, it was true in Samaria, it was true, it was the missionary movement. Amen. It was the move of God as they were sent forth from Antioch. It involved cities, Philippi, Corinth, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Athens, and on, the list of different locations where the gospel was preached, and in every location, people, numbers of people were brought in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, I will build my church, that growth included numbers of people. Amen. So don't shy away from praying about that. Lord, fill our building with hungry, searching souls. Fill up every part of this building with people who are hungry for God. Amen. They're here. They're in our community. They're within our reach. It isn't a bad thing at all to pray that the Lord would cause the church to grow numerically and also to grow in the level of maturity in the body of Christ. But we are to mature in the body so that we become a tool that God can use to evangelize and reach out to the world. We mature as believers. We grow in the level of maturity so that we can be that vessel that will have even a greater impact and be more useful in the kingdom of God. We mature in prayer. We mature in our witness. We mature in our lifestyle as a witness and a testimony to the world that's in need. So we need to be growing in numbers. Amen. We need to be growing up and maturing as a body. It's not the will of God that we continue as, you know, immature, as children. Children, the scripture says that they are easily swayed. If you don't grow up in the Word, don't grow up in the things of God, if you don't mature, then you are going to be prey to the enemy. Every wind of doctrine, everything that comes your way, you'll be easily swayed by the society and the culture of the day that we're living in right now. We need to grow in numbers. We need to grow in In maturity, we need to grow in the church. We need to become a stronger body. What a vivid illustration of what can happen when people pull together. When we all work cooperatively together, we can defeat a great enemy. We can destroy the works of the enemy. We can enjoy the victory that comes to a group, to a body that will not come to just an individual. Amen. We grow numerically. We grow in maturity. We grow in strength because we're stronger because we have bound together. Amen. Bound together. What a blessing that it is in the church when the church is moving as one. Moving as one. In a spirit of unity, moving in the same direction, working and praying and pressing into the things of the Lord, we become stronger as a result. We need to grow also in our influence. Amen. But we of course, our world that we live in is a culture that is so opposite of the things of God, but we're still to be salt in this present generation. We're to be the light. We're to be the city set on a hill. We're to be growing in our influence, taking advantage of every opportunity to let the testimony of the Lord to be shining forth from our lives and from our collective testimony. Amen. Glory to God. Growing in strength, growing in maturity, growing in numbers, growing in influence. Amen. Another area, growing in the quality of our ministry. Amen. By that I mean that we should be striving to be better, to do it better, to do ministry better, to be able to reach out to people in a more effective way, to carry on the work of the ministry in a more effective way. We need to be improving, bettering ourselves through the knowledge of the Lord, through learning and growing and developing in the things of the Lord. Amen. Through teaching and through preaching and through the ministry and really even through the motivation that comes from each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. We encourage one another. We motivate one another. And we ought to be challenging one another to do better. Amen. Whatever your calling, whatever your ministry is, ask the Lord to help you. Lord, give me new methods. Give me new tools. Give me a greater ability. Help me, Lord, to be able to communicate to this generation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help me to improve and to be more than I have been in the past. Amen. Certainly, methods, the gospel is the same. The message is the same. And that will never change. But sometimes we know that the tools and the methods do change over the process of a lot of years. And so we take advantage of those tools that the Lord gives to us to make sure that the church ministry is growing, improving, amen, more effective than it has been ever before. Praise God. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church that realizes the potential of this, of what can happen whenever a body binds together. Amen. Now, I know we're right in the middle of summertime. This is vacation season. It's almost like people are scattering different directions every week. But we don't lose sight of our focus. Amen. We remain true to our focus. We were gone for 8 days, and I told Marcia after 6 days, I'm ready to go home. And I would have already been home, but the plane tickets were scheduled for the 8th day. On the 6th day, I was ready. I'm ready to go back home. And I'd had enough of even Colorado was beautiful, but I was through. And I was ready to come back home. Amen. Amen. I believe in the power and the effectiveness of the local church. Amen. I just ask the Lord, Lord, stir up in all of us a renewed vision that we could see that it's your will. I will build my church, and there's not one thing that Satan can do about it. He cannot stop it. The only thing that will stop the progress of the church is you and me. If we determine that we are just going to, you know, lose our vision and not press and not put our whole heart into it, become weary with well doing and just kind of become careless and lax in the work that the Lord has called us to do. If we were all giving 100%, if we were all pouring our heart into it, amen, I believe that we would see some wonderful, mighty things take place. Amen. And I'm trusting the Lord for some of these miracles to be the force that causes people to say something is happening at that location. As they hear the word of this person was healed and that person, their life was transformed and this one was delivered, and that report goes forth, and people are drawn to the church that is witnessing the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's trust the Lord over these coming weeks. Lord, do a work. Do a work. Even in the middle of the summertime. Amen. Do a work. And I have been encouraged and challenged by the fact that we've had several visitors in our services that keep coming in to the meetings, and we're going to believe the Lord to do something wonderful and mighty this week. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you, Lord, that the church can grow, and it's your will that it grows in every respect that we've mentioned here tonight. Every area, Lord, numerically and in maturity and in strength, Lord, and in influence, Lord, and in the quality of our ministry and all these different areas, Lord, it is your will, God, that the church grows. And Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us to see it and to catch the vision for what you are wanting to do, and that the enemy is not going to be able to succeed if we bind together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there is power, Lord, in the body of Christ, bound together for a common cause, and we're believing you to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Can we just take a moment and just thank the Lord for the promise of God that's available to every one of us and to us right here at this location. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we know that you are working. We know you are providing. We know you're empowering us, Lord. And you're leading us, Lord, in a particular direction. And we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you will just stir our hearts, Lord. Stir us, Lord, with a renewed vision and a renewed desire. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we sing that chorus?